Hi, welcome back. I'm Dr. Barbara Byers, and today I'm going to talk about the joining of intimacy and authority. In the Lord, we have both intimacy and authority. We have both closeness and connection and clout, if you will. So first, let's talk about intimacy. We come to know the Lord, and then we're invited by Him into deeper and deeper places of intimacy where we truly get to know Him and realize His indwelling presence at all times. At all times He is with us and in us. And we develop this sense of knowing His presence just like we develop any intimate relationship, any close friendship or marriage. It takes time, energy, trust, maintenance, and just like we pay attention and get to know someone in each season we're in with Him, so must we do with the Lord. It's not some occasional connection He invites us to. It's constant nearness because He is here and He is constant. And then we must learn to abide in Him moment by moment. And so, and in that, practicing His presence, then we learn to mature and we're transformed. He is in us, we're in Him, and we are literally infused by His life. He's in the very center of our being. It enables us to live very naturally, but on a supernatural plane. So this is what Jesus said in John 15, 4 through 9 in the Message. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourself at home in my love. He's saying, come and join your life with mine. So He's indwelling us. And when we practice His presence, we're simply calling that to mind over and over. And you know, we're called to be a people of the presence. That's what sets us apart. And that's what transforms us. So in the place of intimacy, He plants His life in us, His Spirit, His encouragement, His Word, His grace, and we can learn to come to Him, and we can learn to receive from Him as we give Him our attention. We have to quiet the other voices around us many, many times, but we have an open invitation from the Lord to come. We don't have to beg at the door on the outside. We can step forward in great confidence and just present ourselves in the name of Jesus, and that opens the door every time, and that's how we come with confidence, and He welcomes us. We don't have to beg Him. So what happens when we come to that place of intimacy? Well, we're renewed, we're nourished, we receive from the Lord. He is with us, and we're listening and responding. Another thing is we experience this intimacy of shared hearts, shared dreams, shared hopes, shared secrets, shared affections. This is the place of face-to-face friendship. And I really want that with the Lord. I know you do too, or you wouldn't be listening. I've been thinking lately of Moses in Exodus 33:11, and it says, Moses spoke to God face-to-face as one speaks to a friend. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. The Lord considered Moses a close friend. And out of that intimacy with the Lord comes Moses' authority. He prophesied, he did many miracles. If we look at Deuteronomy 34:10, it says, since then, since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. That's really saying something. Another thing in intimacy is He gives us our identity. When we know whose we are, we know who we are. He tells us the truth about us, and He starts extracting and uprooting the old lies and putting the truth in. When we're intimate with the Lord, we find our safety. We find our place of safety. And we know He's our refuge and our stronghold. And lastly, in intimacy with the Lord, we become deeply, deeply rooted in Him. So we're invited into His heart continually. He is near us. He doesn't shun us. He's not angry with us. He doesn't turn us away. He's always ready for us to turn to Him in trust and vulnerability and to build that beautiful connection with Him. And it's His presence and grace that invites us and makes it possible anyway. Then out of intimacy, we can begin to understand authority. Some Christians get this backward. They hear some teachings about authority and they really want this power, but they don't have the intimacy, and that's backwards. Moses had this deep face-to-face intimacy first, and then great authority came. So authority is invested into us and delegated to us because of Jesus' finished work on the cross. Because of His death and resurrection, we have authority in His name. And our authority increases as we suffer well and respond well. So we have to learn to cultivate authority and let the Lord deepen our character. Someone said that power can be defined as the ability to make things happen. Authority can be defined as the right to represent and exercise that power. So there's a difference there. His power works through His people. There's real supernatural power given to us by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, and He expects us to use it. He wants us to use it. His kingdom come to earth. That's us using this power. We may at times use this authority to declare and to decree what we know to be God's will, what we know to be God's word. Sometimes we use this authority in spiritual warfare against the enemy, against sickness. We have His delegated power. We don't shrink back. We should have great confidence as Christians because the source of authority is not our own. It's not self-initiated. We stand in the power of the name of Jesus and His finished work, as I said. So if we want to learn to use authority well and with humility, then we learn to stay in intimate connection, in abiding union with the Lord Jesus. Our ability to engage with Him, our intimacy with Him, is the beginning of our training in our inheritance and in our authority. So just look at a few scriptures here that tells us what we have authority over. These are just a few. James 5, Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for a good long time. And then he prayed and it rained. Luke 10:17, the disciples realize, they rejoice. Oh, even the demons, you know, obey us. We have authority over demons. And a couple of verses later, Jesus responds and he says, yes, you do. You have authority over the forces of evil, over spiritual oppression. And this is incredible news to them. In Acts 16:18, and it's incredible news to us, by the way, and we need to exercise it. In Acts 16, Paul demanded that a demon come out of a woman, and that demon came out. In James 4:7, he says we are to submit to God and resist the devil. So there's this dual action. We are both submitting to God in trusting intimacy and obedience, and we're resisting the darkness, and He will flee from us. We have that authority. Ephesians 6:12 says our wrestling isn't against this present darkness. Is against this present darkness and the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And we will prevail because we have authority in heaven. 1 John 4:4, we have overcome because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. That's our authority. In Matthew 16:19, Jesus tells Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That is quite a promise. In Revelation 12:11, it says they conquered by three things, the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life, even unto death. So we need to keep recognizing and living in these three truths. We're redeemed by the blood alone. We have the sure word of testimony that carries authority, and we keep choosing His ways. We keep choosing to die to self. Our authority increases the more we die to our own old ways and the more we submit to the Lord. So we know we have authority, that it is truly ours, and we have to know how to use it well. And so our authority is not just power, it is delegated power. It's fully backed by Jesus, fully backed. It's not by our own strength, but all the power of the Lord Himself is within us. Ephesians 6:10 says, "We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We're backed by heaven because it's His, it's ours. When Jesus was resurrected and ascended, He sent us His Holy Spirit. He transferred authority to us here, to His body, to His bride, to His ambassadors and representatives on earth. And it says He raised us with Him in heavenly places and seated us, Ephesians 2, in the heavenly realm. That's our reality. That's a position of authority because we're His heirs. Everything of His belongs to us. That's what the word says. That is amazing. He moves through us. He moves through the church. And we can and must use our authority, our voice, to speak what He speaks, our prayers to release what He wants to release, to command what He commands. Every knee is going to bow, and we have authority in His name. In Acts 3, Peter and John were going in to the beautiful gate, and they met a lame man there at the gate. And Peter took his hand and simply said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he did. And they knew it wasn't their power. It was the power of the name of Jesus gifted to them, delegated to them. Jesus had full authority. We see Him raising the dead because He only did what the Father planned. He saw what the Father wanted to do, or heard what the Father wanted, and that's what He did. And He explained it this way in John 5:19 in the Message. I'm telling you this straight. The Son can't independently do a thing, only what He sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does. The Father loves the Son and includes Him in everything He's doing. So Jesus stayed in this intimate communion with the Father, and from that place He knew how and when to exercise His authority. It was an authority filled with great compassion, great love, great care, but it was a very certain authority. So let's apply our heart to increase in loving intimacy with Him, and then also in our understanding and application of our authority in His. I want to encourage you to search the scripture and see what your authority is. So thanks for joining me talking about intimacy and authority. I hope you'll tune in next time.